Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take...
Not this week, we don't.
Ooh.
This week, we take blockbusters. Critically beloved, commercially beloved blockbusters.
Disney films.
That too.
It's got Disney princesses in it, guys.
That's right.
If you consider Black Widow a Disney princess.
I consider the Hulk a Disney princess.
So if you haven't figured this out, we are doing the Avengers versus the Avengers Age of Ultron. So we're going to have Brandon kick it out. We did a coin flip backstage. Brandon tripped. I laughed and I decided that he should get the punishment and have to do the movie first.
A double burn on this one.
I know.
All right, so 2012 Avengers. It starts out in the middle of the desert. Loki goes, breaks out into the human world. On his way, stealing the Tesseract, takes a Hawkeye along with him, destroys the entire base, brainwashes Hawkeye on the way out. Great chase scenes, a lot of fighting.
Nick Fury gets the crew together, Hulk's hustling pool. Captain America's working on a car.
Yep, all that
Black
good
Widow
stuff.
Is teaching kids to read in Somalia.
Hawkeye's playing baseball. It's a That's grand old time.
Hulk's teaching Tai Chi.
Nick Fury's playing bass. I don't know why. I don't know why he had to recruit himself while he's playing bass.
Because he's all about that bass.
You know, there's a lot of infighting stuff going on while they're trying to track down Loki. They find Loki in Germany trying to accrue a large army of subjects. Captain America doesn't find this appealing. Last time he was in Germany, didn't turn out so well.
No. There's something about those Nazis. I don't know. Hey, they're just not the most appealing sort.
They're not very agreeable.
Yeah, and even when they are hot, they nail your dad. And then they nail you. Ew. Sorry, I lost my mind for a second there.
She talks in her sleep.
All right.
So we get the first appearance of the helicarrier. There's a lot of great stuff going on. They finally get everything back together as Loki is bringing in a Chitauri army in the middle of New York, of all places. Not some little place in Germany or other parts of the world. No, middle of downtown New York. He brings a Chitauri army. Hulk smashes. Iron Man blows stuff up. And in the end, the Avengers win.
Yay, humanity!
I was holding my breath for a second there. For some reason, I was thinking in the end they'd eat shawarma.
Hey, in the end, we all eat shawarma.
True that, man. True that. So before I get into the plot, I'm going to start off with some good-natured trailer-referencing trash talk. Brandon, when you look into Big's eyes, you see hope. I'll take that from you first.
Hey, there ain't no strings on me.
All right, Avengers Age of Ultron. As you might imagine, this film picks up from the last film. As, if you are non-nerdy inclined, you may not imagine this film also picks up after a whole shitload of other films, but we're not going to get into that right now.
Pretty much everyone but Guardians of the Galaxy.
And even Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of.
A little bit,
A little
bit.
Just a little dash.
You pick up on one character.
So I'm going to there's a lot of plot in this movie, so I'm going to boil it down for you guys. It's simple. Tony Stark has seen so much damage done by the world, and he also wants to reach a place where he doesn't have to fight anymore. And he has this dream. He describes himself as a suit of armor around the world so that when aliens come again, and they will, this time they won't even be able to get past Earth's bouncer. And he calls this dream Ultron, and he believes it's impossible. He's worked with Bruce Banner trying to create it, and he hasn't been able to do it. Until, after a successful raid of the final Hydra base they had been searching for Baron Von Strucker, they are able to get back the scepter, as Brandon mentioned, Loki's scepter from the first Avengers.
Hey, if they wouldn't have lost it in the first place, damn it.
I mean, to be fair, if you watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they did lose it. Hydra took it from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it got tooken.
Yeah.
So they're able to Thor is going to take the scepter back to Asgard, but they have a few days until this farewell party they're having for him, this big Avengers gala bash, and Tony asks if he can use that time to take a little once over the scepter, give it a look-see, see what kind of properties it has, try to solve some mysteries, and as he looks at it, he learns there's this computer almost within it. It's not like any computer they've ever seen, and they bring this hologram up, similar to the Jarvis hologram, and they compare Jarvis's coding and the coding within this computer. And its synapses are firing as if it's a brain. And they realize that if they can harness this power, that may be the key to the Ultron program, the artificial intelligence needed to run it. It works, kinda. Instead, what they get is a robot voiced magnificently and performed in motion capture magnificently by James Spader, named Ultron, as you may have guessed, by both everything I've said to this point, as well as the title. And it turns out that he is maybe not quite as friendly as Tony would have hoped, and he believes the only path to peace on Earth is to rid the world of the Avengers. And also everyone else. So, the Avengers naturally have to stop this from happening and allowing Ultron to carry out his evil plans. And throughout many battles, both within the team and without, both with Ultron and with new characters, and then with new characters fighting at their side, they are finally able to bring down the destructive robot rampage that they let loose on the world, and they're able to bring peace back and begin looking to the future.
All right, first argument I got is thinking back to the time of 2012. There was a lot of uncertainty going on in the world.
I thought the world was going to end. Yeah, and I
what had did to 2015
like, I had
happen?
To be like, what's going on? Like, I spent all my money on supplies. The world didn't end. What's happening? I have all this water, guys. I have 25 crates of water in my basement. What am I going to do? I have zinc tablets. I don't even know why I needed them. I just knew that it was going to end in 2012. What's happening, guys?
You know what happened?
Sorry,
the Avengers happened.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. This wasn't real life.
So, you know, we got to, you know, the Mayans were predicting this sort of implications of what's going to happen. But the Avengers stopped it. That's why we're still podcasting today. You know, Age of Ultron, we're fighting a computer bug. It's not as similar.
You're right, it's not similar. No. It doesn't need to be. Because you see, the plot of Age of Ultron does what the best movies do, and it finds a way to pair its villain with a very real human fear. In this case, the very real human fear of both the NSA and the capabilities of computers as evidenced by the NSA, their ability to see everything we do, hear everything we do, track everything we do, as well as our fear of the inevitable robot uprising. And honestly, if this is the movie it takes to finally get humanity to get their ass in gear and prepare for the inevitable when toasters are trying to fuck your world up, then god damn it, this is money well spent.
You had mentioned plot lines. You know, Age of Ultron had a lot of plot lines, but not a lot of plot depth. Where we start out in Age of Ultron, it's fast-paced, a lot is going on. There's a lot of stuff going on, but not a lot of depth in that. It starts heavy, ends heavy. In the Avengers, we start out pretty slow. You know, there's Loki breaking out. You know, there's some stuff going on behind the scenes. And we learn throughout the movie that there's a lot more going on. You know, we get a lot more development in the characters. We bring in one by one all of the characters. We get a lot more depth out of the movie.
I'm so glad that you said developing the characters, because, man, you walked right into what I'm going to say next. Avengers Age of Ultron does something, and Joss Whedon in particular, through his writing and where he chooses to shine the spotlight in the story and on which characters he shines it on, he does something that is reminiscent of why I love the Avengers comic so much, which is you come to the Avengers comic for the heavy hitters and the superstars. You come for your Iron Mans and your Captain Americas and your Thors and your Hulks. You stay because eventually you realize what most comic fans do, which is the Avengers isn't for developing Iron Man and Cap and Thor. They have their own comic series, or as the analogy would show, they have their own film franchises. They have entire trilogies dedicated to expanding these characters. The Avengers is about using them as a core and developing their surrounding areas. And Age of Ultron is able to do this to an extent that Avengers didn't, for multiple reasons, one of which being, you know, it had its own monumental task of uniting them, and that I will gladly admit to. It's had its work cut out for it. But now that we've done the establishing and we've gotten that all that out of the way, we can start to look into these other corners of the universe, these characters who don't get much attention. Hawkeye goes from, as you said, barely on the team in Avengers 1 and under mind control working for the bad guy for a good chunk of it, to a living, breathing, three-dimensional character with his own thoughts and fears and life outside the team. Similarly, we get a ton of development on the new characters, the Maximoff twins. We get to learn, obviously, their powers, but we get to learn their allegiances. We learn their backstory. We learn why they make the decisions they make. We learn how they become Avengers. Oh, and by the way, I haven't even mentioned the Vision yet, and I won't go into too much detail because I do want to leave
that
as
the Vision?
Oh, he's the Vision.
Yeah, no middle name, first name, though.
And I don't want to spoil too much for those out there who haven't seen it yet, but suffice it to say, the Vision fucking rules. Oh, and by the way, that doesn't include scenes where we get some fun, jokey development with Don Cheadle as James Rhodey Rhodes, the War Machine, or when we learn what Falcon's been up to since the end of Winter Soldier, or when we meet Dr. Helen Cho, which is a sort of a deep-cut comic character, made knownly because she's the mother of another deep-cut comic character, Amadeus Cho, but that alone is its own shout-out, and she becomes her own important character of the story. We get to see a little more of Peggy Carter. We get to see what Heimdall's up to in weird-ass freaky visions. Like, this is
how
not
do you
just
do this off the top of your head?
I fucking love I live for this shit. Are you kidding me?
You forgot Claw.
Oh, I didn't forget Claw. You stopped me before I got to Claw. But yes, Claw shows up and that's a grand old time. He even loses his hands just like the comics, you guys. It's the best. Because now, after we spent all that time establishing a world and a universe, both in Avengers, but also the other franchises, now we get to play in that world and stretch that world and look into the dark corners of that world and learn, most importantly, about the people inhabiting and driving the focus of that world.
Wow. So you had mentioned the Claw. And there was some interesting reading I came across this week about all of the second story information that's out there, where they're trying to do an Empire Strikes Back homage in this, where several hands get cut off throughout the process of the second series.
Yep. Feige talked about, and technically this becomes a spoiler for Ant-Man. It's actually, funny enough, something I was going to bring up in Skies. So as most people know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been sort of divided up into phases. And phase one was everything leading to Avengers. Phase two is Iron Man 3 to Ant-Man, including Avengers Age of Ultron. And Kevin Feige, his favorite movie is Empire Strikes Back. So as a little Easter egg to Empire Strike Back, because Feige sees phase two as the second chapter of this larger story, every film in phase two features someone getting a hand chopped off. And there's two in Age of Ultron, Claw and the Hulkbuster. Oh yeah, by the way, the Hulkbuster's in my movie.
So what was your point about that?
I just wanted to bring it up. I just thought it was fun.
True that, man. I'm with you there.
Very convincing argument there, Brandon.
I'm going to keep this one short so I can volley the ball back to Brandon. James Spader's in my movie and he's not in yours. Do with that information what you will.
You know, James Spader is not in a movie, but we do have Loki. Tom Hiddleston, he is a lot more fun. He's not as deep and brooding as James Spader is. So we get a lot more interaction that's fun, family friendly. We don't get this guy that's singing, we don't sing Have Strings on Me.
Can I just interject only to say that
Pinocchio?
Exactly. Not family friendly. Mine's family friendly. Unlike yours, where the villain sings a song from Pinocchio.
By the way, never so clearer of the Disney influence than when they again sing that song with Pinocchio in one little scene.
Oh, see, I actually think that this is a conversation for another time. Never mind. I've got a lot of thoughts on that alone.
You may
so
have
I'm just
already heard
this to the side.
You may have already heard this 3 days ago on Skies.
Are you familiar with a beloved cult classic television series by the name of Freaks and Geeks?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Linda Cardellini.
Linda Cardellini. But yeah, most importantly, I finally got some closure about what happened to Linda Cardellini's character, Lindsay Weir.
She disappeared with Hawkeye.
She grows the fuck up to marry Hawkeye? Are you kidding me? Does he get cooler than that?
Like any other Avenger? Yeah, that would be cooler.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she'd have a lot of fun fucking the Hulk. You're right. Okay, but you are
right. You got a valid point there. But it would be cooler.
Probably, yeah.
Cooler doesn't necessarily mean safer. Better. Often it doesn't.
By the way, shout out to Oscar nominee Julie Delpy, who is also in this motherfucking movie.
What did she do? I kept reading she's in it, but I didn't
she is
her.
You remember Black Widow's vision when Scarlet Witch takes over her mind?
Okay.
Yeah, she's the instructor at the academy.
Somehow I missed it when I was watching it. I think that may have been a moment when my daughter is in jeopardy of crying.
So, unlike Age of Ultron, one thing we do have in the 2012 is a complete movie in and amongst itself. You know, it starts out with everything event assembling, everything goes to a closure.
Everything assembling, I love it.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Especially the Avengers.
Also Legos.
And IKEA furniture. Okay, go.
And shawarma sandwiches, I guess.
Is shawarma in a sandwich? What is shawarma? I don't feel like I ever
shawarma,
got an answer.
Have you ever had a gyro?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a lot like that.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah, it's really fucking... I love shawarma. I highly recommend it. There's this place in Bozeman, Chickpea Cafe. It's not at the spot it used to be. I don't know if they still have one or not. But if you find a Chickpea Cafe near you, which I'm pretty sure was locally owned, but we're not going to worry about that right now, their shawarma is dope.
I bet it's a lot more popular since that 2012 Marvel's event.
Probably. I will credit that point to you. Your movie did a whole lot more for the shawarma industry than mine. I think we can all agree there's some pretty baller action scenes in 2012's Marvel's The Avengers, aka Marvel's Avengers Assemble. That shit gets turned up to 11 in Age of Ultron. So we've got a crazy ass fight scene. We're thrown right into the action in the raid on a Hydra base that includes a splash page to open the story just like a goddamn comic book. Oh, no. We're not done. So then we go to South Africa where the Hulk is fucking shit up on account of the Scarlet Witch being all in his mind and shit. And Iron Man's like, hell nah, call up Veronica. Veronica is the motherfucking Hulkbuster, except for now, Hulkbuster is a satellite that flies down, shoots the armor on top of Iron Man's other armor, and also carries its own replacement pieces for when Hulk inevitably fucks his shit up.
By the way, this is the only time when you can throw protection over protection and it works. Trust me, because I have a kid trying that. Double bag of condoms, don't try it. Doesn't work.
As a general rule, friction, bad for condoms, great for robots. And I haven't even talked about the final action sequence, which can't really be described. It can only be seen.
Okay, gentlemen, I've taken your arguments into consideration. So here's the thing. 2012's Marvel Adventures was
Avengers? Marvel's Adventures.
I thought I said Avengers, but I'm drinking a beer too, so maybe it came out wrong. Anyway, it's a fucking great movie. I've been well on record talking about how they were able to take all these different characters and blend them together and make them work. I really love how Hawkeye, the way that they worked him into the first one, because you only see a cameo for him in Thor. So much so a cameo that unless you were a comic fan when you saw it, you didn't even know he was in the movie, because I just knew it because it was a dude with the bow and arrow when I saw it. Something
and
like that,
also Hawkeye. At that point, we had known Jeremy Renner was cast as Hawkeye, so that was a tip off.
I didn't know that, but...
Okay, so when I say we, what I really mean is I knew that.
But what I really appreciated about that was, like, you have the bow and arrow guy, but they immediately establish him as dangerous because they make him basically the right arm of Loki and, like, fucks their shit up with a bow and arrow. I mean, like, it's pretty amazing the way that they do it. I love all the character interactions and the fighting. It's really entertaining how, like, they hold off Thor for a little bit and then you see him and he immediately starts fighting with Hulk. Great, dude. And then they have that scene at the end of the movie where they're standing there. And I would say the second funniest moment of either of the two movies, which is like they're standing there and they're smiling after they beat up a bunch of aliens. And then Hulk just like punches Thor.
Like, sucker punches
with no, yeah,
side.
Sucker punches him with no like provocation whatsoever. And the funniest scene in either Avengers movie is when Hulk like just takes Loki and starts smashing him back and forth like a cartoon character. It's fucking brilliant, dude. So Avengers is fucking wonderful. And the bar was so fucking high. The bar is so much higher for the first Avengers than it was for the second one, because it was still a question as to whether it would be a hit. And even after it did like $1 billion, there was still a number of people who didn't even realize that like all these superheroes were in one movie. I don't know how, but Adrian worked with one of them. I remember the story. So the bar was really high and they fucking delivered the best they possibly could. It was an excellent plus in my book, which is interesting because I like Avengers Age of Ultron even better, which is your winner. And so I told you I'd take hope from you first. And I'm not going to do this lame shit where I say excellent plus plus, because it's not. I'll just put it as an excellent plus. But know that like when you start grading the greatest, that like you start to get a little more nitpicky. And you start to pick out the, you know, the qualities you liked a little bit better. So here's the thing about Avengers Age of Ultron that I like the best. It feels more like a comic book than any movie I've ever seen, period. I mean, it is a Marvel comic for all intents and purposes. It's amazing. You have every secondary character that they could jam into it. They all work. They don't explain any of them. They're just there. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't really need to know.
They give you the stuff you need and everything else.
But that being said, like, I mean, my wife totally followed everybody, and she doesn't follow movies the closest, but she got all the characters that were in it, even the secondary characters. My mom got most of them. She got confused on Thanos at the end and thought it was Hulk. And then I explained and she totally knew. And then she didn't know the name of the Vision, which I don't know if they even said that.
They referred to him as Vision.
Yeah, a Vision, Ultron's Vision.
Yeah, they should have just said the Vision.
I think they do at one point.
Okay.
I don't think they ever like technically like called him the Vision.
Well, it was always like, hey, the Vision, can you get me a beer?
I think they go without the. I think they just said, like, they would say the Vision if it made sense in the sentence, but otherwise it'd be like, Vision does this.
Like, they'd say Flash, but not the Flash.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I can go to the other side of the comic aisle for a moment.
I'll allow it.
Because you're the judge, right?
Yeah. But this movie, it was fantastic. I was a little bit worried for two reasons. The first was they had put all the stakes into Infinity Wars and Civil Wars, and so I was even starting to feel a little bit of ennui going into it. Like, why should, like, I was excited to see him, but there's a little bit of me that's like, why should I even care? Because you know the major characters will be around for sure, which you kind of figure at the comic book movie anyway, but they spell it out for you right there. Then, like, you know that there's more important events on the horizon, so you start to think like, well,
how cool could this really
be? Yeah, exactly. It fucking delivered there, so you know that negated my thought right there. The other thought I had about it that kind of concerned me was that they had so many characters. I was just like, how are you gonna balance all these people? But they found, like I said, like, they just throw them in and you either know them or you don't, but it's not that important. It's really not that important. Like, any of the roles they give them, the secondary characters, they're just there. It could be. And this is like a major criticism I have of the critics. I'll just say this, like, and I won't name them, but I've read 5 reviews and they all said the same thing about this. And it's the kind of thing where critics, like, they just want to like go after the big movie. Like, they've already decided that they're going to come up with critical things.
Whereas it's sort of like with the first Avengers, people want, including the critics, wanted to see it succeed because that was better for the narrative. And now the narrative sort of becomes, okay, now how can we poke holes in this? Like,
well, once it's so big that it can't fail,
it puts a target on its back. Exactly.
And so this is what I'll say about the major criticism, that there's too many characters. Most of these characters in the movie, you could have other characters fill in there that you've never seen before, who are just nameless characters like in any given movie. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't accept it. You wouldn't have to know their backstory. That's what makes this movie great, is that you have these characters that serve that purpose, but you happen to know their backstories.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the benefit to building a world that Marvel's built, and it's incredible. They did it in the Avengers. They did that times like 10 for this movie. I mean, like, it's insane. So my ultimate grade is an excellent plus. They both get excellent pluses, but I liked Age of Ultron a little bit better. a lot bit better. It's just, it feels like the comic books to me. Mm-hmm. So that's my piece.
I don't think anybody here is going to give anything less than an excellent plus on either movie. Yeah. I just don't see that happening.
Don't give it away yet. I might have an excellent plane to handle it.
And I really like the 2012 Avengers. And then I've seen it many times.
Oh, the 2012 Marvel's Avengers?
Marvel's The Avengers.
Assemble.
The movie.
3D.
And, you know, it was one thing I will say about Age of Ultron, it was a little off-putting, like just being thrown into what's going on, like middle of a fight scene, like, because I haven't been keeping up on but you learn, like, in the movie going in so fast, you learn what they're after. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah. It's not like...
you basically...
It's just like the secondary characters. Yeah. If you know, it adds a level to it. But if you don't know, it doesn't matter because they tell you pretty fast what they're doing. And you know from Captain America, I would say you also know from Winter Soldier that Hydra is still around.
Yeah. And that Strucker has the scepter.
So it's been established in Marvel movies already.
So, I mean, it was just a hair off-putting for a minute or two, and then, like, oh, we're doing this.
Yeah, it definitely takes a minute to get your bearings, but once you do, holy shit, does it get crazy. Yeah.
The other Easter egg I did thought was kind of funny was when you mentioned Veronica. The reason behind the Betty. Name Veronica was Betty.
Uh-huh. Did you catch Betty the other
Ross,
reference?
I should explain this really quick for listeners. So Betty Ross was the Hulk's first girlfriend in the movies. So... What's like the opposite of Betty?
Betty is Veronica.
There's another fun Iron Man related Easter egg in that vein. I mean, there's a lot of Easter eggs in the movie, but in that vein, after he uses Jarvis to sort of finish off the Vision, finish off creating the Vision, he has to replace it.
I like he's going through like a box of computer chips, like
yeah. And so one of them is Jocasta, which for those who don't know, Jocasta. So basically, in the comics, Hank Pym creates Ultron, who creates Vision. Yeah. And Ultron
Hank Pym
also
will create Ant-Man in the movie, but actually was Ant-Man in the comics.
Well,
and then replaced and became Bumblebee Jacket. I don't remember. Yellow Jacket?
Hank Pym, he went from Ant-Man, Giant Man, Goliath, Yellow Jacket, Wasp in honor of his dead wife, back to Ant-Man, back to Giant Man. Now he's just Hank Pym, superhero
at large.
The Wasp
is dead?
Was.
Right. Because it's a comic book. Yeah. I was confused.
But so Jocasta is another Ultron created robot, AI system robot, who also betrays him and ends up working with the Avengers for a long time. But the one he chooses is Friday, which is a reference to one of my favorite films from the golden age of Hollywood, starring Cary Grant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say starring Ice Cube.
No. His Girl Friday, which is a romantic comedy that is... the reason it's so well known and beloved now, the reason it sort of lasted, is because it's famous for having this really progressive for the time, super quick, witty banter between the man and the woman who's working with him. And much like Tony Stark with his witty banter with the woman working with him, Friday.
Pepper Potts.
Oh. Well, first Pepper Potts, and then within the context of Age of Ultron.
I'll just be a nerd.
Which, and then here's the other fun part. This one goes two layers in. His Girl, it's also a reference to Robinson Crusoe.
You read a much deeper Easter egg article than I did.
That was deeper than I got.
I've yet to read an Easter egg article. This is all from my skull right now.
What?
Friday is also a reference to Robinson, and maybe it's not intended, but I'm taking it as one, also as a reference to Friday from Robinson Crusoe, who was the islander native who ends up helping Robinson Crusoe on the island. That's all I got there.
And Ice Cube.
Getting knocked the fuck out.
Because after all, you don't have shit to do. It's Friday.
God damn right. I want that on my tombstone.
All right, so fill those seats so we don't have to.
Not safe for network.
So when you get the actual script in your hands,
How is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but that
that's
just
great gets, for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So
RDJ.
We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah,
does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh god, where am I? Oh guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
You guys, I'm gonna have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you gonna wear that hat?
I'm just gonna take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies. By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I appreciate...
Washes them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.